news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to a weekend that begins on Friday the 13th, the day that supporters of the former guy have claimed he will be reinstated as President of the United States. So far, no sign of that happening. In actual news, on Thursday, we got our first look at the 2020 census data, the demographic information that legislatures across the country will use to redraw political districts that'll be used beginning with the 2022 elections just over a year away. The biggest revelation, for the first time ever, a drop in the non-Hispanic white population. White people are still the largest racial or ethnic group in the U.S., making up 57.8% of the total population. But that's down from 63.7% in 2010. The country is more diverse and more multiracial than ever, with people of color representing 43% of the total U.S. population. That's up from 34% in 2010. The data indicates big growth among Latin, Asian, and multiracial Americans. Latinos are the second largest group in the U.S., making up 18.7% of the population. Overall, the population of the country rose by 7.4% over the last decade, but that's the second slowest rate of growth in U.S. history. And about 80% of urban areas saw population gains as more people are leaving rural regions. Americans are also getting older. The adult population has grown from 237 million to 261 million. This could all have big implications for the future of U.S. elections. Plus, these numbers guide the distribution of federal funding among state and local governments, not to mention all the money being injected into the economy through the COVID relief bills and the upcoming infrastructure legislation. Dave Wasserman of the Cook Political Report tweeted, quote, "Early read, based on the strong urban and weaker rural numbers I'm seeing, this is a much more favorable census count than minority advocacy groups and Democrats had feared." All right, I'll take any optimism. Turning to COVID, as expected, the FDA has authorized COVID-19 booster shots for severely immunocompromised people, like transplant recipients. As kids go back to school and child coronavirus cases rise, many parents and doctors are getting impatient for the FDA to give the green light to vaccinate children under 12. We do know that Moderna and Pfizer have increased their pediatric testing, but the latest surge in hard-hit states like Florida and Tennessee is getting so bad that local leaders are warning citizens to think twice before they call an ambulance. Here in Florida, the situation worsens. The governor is unhinged and should probably be Baker-acted. That's Florida's closest equivalent to using the 25th Amendment. In a 24-hour period, three teachers and an assistant in the Broward County School District, all in their 40s and 50s, all died from COVID. And on Thursday, the Sunshine State reported close to 25,000 new cases, yet another new one-day record. Go get a shot if you haven't yet.
If you love this land of the free, bring them home, bring them home. Bring them back from overseas, bring them home, bring them home.
Actually, we're sending 3,000 troops back to Afghanistan. President Biden announced Thursday that this temporary surge to Kabul will help evacuate personnel from the U.S. Embassy, as it's expected that Afghanistan's largest city will soon fall to the Taliban. On Thursday, in a major offensive, the Taliban captured Kandahar and Herat, the second and third largest cities in Afghanistan. The Taliban is estimated to now control over two-thirds of the country. While Kabul is not yet under direct threat, the newest U.S. military intelligence suggests it could fall within 30 days. In infrastructure news, the Democrats are revolting. Nine of the more conservative members of the House caucus sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi saying, quote, "We will not consider voting for a budget resolution until the Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act passes the House and is signed into law." Huh? Who are these nine threatening to turn everything upside down? Congressman Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey, Carol Bordeaux of Georgia, Philemon Vela of Texas, Jared Golden of Maine, Henry Cuellar of Texas, Vicente Gonzalez of Texas, Ed Case of Hawaii, Jim Costa, California, and Kurt Schrader from Oregon. But there's also heavy pressure from a much larger faction in the Democratic caucus, the progressives. They want to delay a vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill until the $3.5 trillion reconciliation package is complete. And that's what Nancy Pelosi and President Biden and Chuck Schumer are all calling for. By the way, Pelosi can only afford to lose 3 Democratic votes and still pass the budget resolution through the chamber. There's so much riding on the line here. So the new Supreme Court term doesn't begin until the first Monday in October, but the justices are still working. They're analyzing new petitions for review, making preparations for cases they'll hear in the fall, and they're considering motions and applications. On Thursday, Justice Amy Coney Barrett rejected a request from 8 Indiana University students trying to block the school's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Since Barrett oversees emergency petitions in that region, she got to make the decision. She didn't explain her reason for rejecting the motion or even mention referring the matter to her fellow justices. But this was the first case related to vaccination requirements to make it to the Supreme Court after a federal district judge and a panel of the Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit rejected the student's request. And Amy Coney Barrett is taking a lot of incoming noise from Trump supporters who feel that she betrayed them. Oh, please. The court ruled 6-3 in a short emergency order that part of a New York state law barring residential evictions during the pandemic effectively denied landlords the ability to challenge tenants who say they've been hurt by the coronavirus. As you'd expect, the 3 liberal justices dissented. Stephen Breyer noted the moratorium was set to expire in 3 weeks anyway. And finally, bad news from across the pond. 6 people were killed on Thursday night during a mass shooting in Plymouth, England. These things don't happen there. They happen here. A witness told the Times newspaper that she saw a man kick down the door to a house and shoot a woman and a girl who looked to be around 5 years old. Later, after fleeing from the home, the gunman ran through a nearby park and shot 2 people walking their dogs. Mass shootings are very rare in England, which has one of the world's lowest gun homicide rates. The Daily Beast is reporting that the shooter was a 22-year-old incel and Trump supporter who posted online about devil worshippers in government. This is the worst mass shooting in Britain since 2019. Now, before the shooting, Davidson went on Facebook and expressed his admiration for Trump. He also posted a bunch of self-pitying YouTube videos in which he identified himself as part of the incel community. If you're not familiar with the term incel, involuntary celibate. On his Facebook page, he claims to be from Arizona, but his accent is more typical of people from the southwest of England. Just sickening. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.